我们来一起念神的话，请开你的圣经到启示录第21:9，我们会念到第22:6。请兄弟陪我一起念，然后姐妹陪他一起念。哦，是375耶。拿这七个金碗，审门末后七灾的七位天使中，有一位来对我说：“你到这里来，我要讲心腹，就是羔羊的旨，指给你看。”我被圣灵感动，天使就带我到一座高大的山，讲哪有神哪里从天而降的身子。耶路撒冷只是我，
城中有神的荣耀，神的光辉如同极贵的宝石，好像碧玉，明如水晶，有高大的墙，有12个门，门上有12位天使，门上又写着以色列12个支派的名字。
东边有3门，北边有3门，南边有3门，西边有3门，城墙有12根基，根基上有羔羊12使徒的名字。
对我说话的拿着金苇子当尺，要量哪城和城门城墙，城是四方的，长宽一样。天使用苇子量哪城，共有4000里，长宽高都是一样。
又量了城墙，按着人的尺寸，就是天使的尺寸，共有144周。墙是碧玉造的，城是晶晶的，如同明镜的玻璃。
城墙的根基是用各样宝石修饰的，第一根基是碧玉，第二是蓝宝石，第三是绿玛瑙，第四是绿宝石，第五是红玛瑙，第六是红宝石，第七是黄碧玺，第八是水苍玉，第九是红碧玺，第七是翡翠，第十一是紫玛瑙，第十二是紫金。
12个门是12颗珍珠，每门是1颗珍珠，城内的街道是晶晶，好像明透的玻璃。我未见城内有殿，因主神全能者和羔羊未成的殿。
那城内又不用日光光照，因是神的荣耀光照，又是羔羊围城的灯，列国要在城的光里行走，地上的君王必将自己的荣归于那城。
城门百周总不关闭，在那里原没有黑夜，人必歼灭过的荣耀尊贵归于哪城。
凡不洁净的，并那行可憎于虚幻之事的，总不得进哪城，只有名字写在羔羊生命册上的才得进去。
天使又指示我在城内街道当中一道神命水的河，明亮如水晶，从神和羔羊的包座流出来。在河这边与那边有神命树，结12样果子，每月都结果子，树上的叶子那位一子完明。
以后再没有周主，在城里有宝座，他的仆人都要侍奉他，也跟他面，他的名字必写在他们的额上。不再有黑夜，他们也不用灯光日光，因为主神要光照他们，他们要做王，直到永永远远，遵守这书上 预言的有福了。
天使又对我说，这些话是真事，可能信的。主就是忠先指干指令的神，他牵他的使者讲那必要快成的事，指示他仆人。这是神的话。
Good morning, everyone. 大家早。Today is College Sunday.
今天是大专主日。
Where the college students have an opportunity to serve each one of us.
今天我们的大专学生有机会来服侍大家。
And I apologize for not being able to preach to you in English, in Chinese.
我很抱歉，我今天不能用中文向你们讲道。
But I'm sure Elder Chang will tell you exactly what I meant to say.
但是我很相信我们的侯弟兄所讲的道，每一句话都出于上帝。
Well, what is heaven like?
天堂到底是什么样子？
I think that's a question that often fascinates us.
我想这是一个让我们常常憧憬的这样一个问题。
There are many modern interpretations that range from the silly to the serious.
我想有许多近代人想要去来想象天堂的样子的时候，可以是从一个玩笑到认真的这样不同，这样大的不同。
Some people believe that heaven is like a bright light at the end of a tunnel.
有的人好像相信天堂就好像在一个黑暗的隧道的底端的那个明亮。
And that's where our friends and family who passed on before us wait for us.
那么有人就相信我们已经死去的亲友或者只是先人，他们就在这个地道的那一端等我们。
Others think of heaven as the place where everybody become angels and we sit on clouds and play harps.
有的人又认为，也许我们已经过世的这些先人，他们通通变成了天使，他们都坐在云上面弹那个竖琴。
And still others will think of heaven as a place that manifests the place that is most beloved in our lives.
其他的人呢，或许就觉得天堂是一个我们将来所愿意、所愿望去一个可爱的地方。
Revelation 21 and 22 gives us Apostle John's vision of heaven.
那么在启示录的第21章到22章的前面一半，是我们的使徒约翰他所描述天堂的景象。
What do we make of this?
那么这一段圣经所教导我们的，我们应该用什么样的态度来接受呢？
Can you see this in your mind, what heaven is like?
你能不能因为读了这段圣经，在你的心里面能够憧憬将来的天堂到底是什么样子？
But before we look at Revelation, there's a caveat.
但是在我们来 说明这一段圣经之前，我们必须要先有一个说明。
And that is that Revelation is written by John in a type of literature that is called apocalyptic.
那么启示录是约翰所写的，那他的文学的题材，他的那个方式是叫做启示文学。
And apocalyptic literature was very common during the time of Jesus.
那么在耶稣那个时代，这个启示文学的这种写法是常见的。
Books like Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, were written in this style.
好像旧约里面的但以理书、以西结书、撒加利亚书都是属于这一类的题材，这一类的文献。
But the closest parallel that we have today may be the Matrix movie trilogy.
或许如果用今天的一个比喻，也许不一定是那么好的比喻的话，我们可以说是就是一个科幻电影叫做《矩阵》，那里面所看见许多的幻象。
So many of us are not very familiar with this style of literature.
所以我们今天的人来回头来看启示录，我们对他那种写法、他的描述是很不熟悉。
So in order to understand.And fully appreciate what John is trying to describe, we need to understand a few things about this style of literature.
所以要能够明白 约翰所写的是什么之前，我们必须要对这一类的文献和当时的时代能够有一个了解。
First, apocalyptic literature are written during times of persecution.
那么那个时候的启示文学所写的那个时代是一个受灾难、受逼迫的时代。
And they look forward to the end of the age or end of time.
所以那个时候的基督徒们非常向往到未来这个末世的日子能够早一点来到。
And they were written to encourage the people who were being persecuted.
所以他们写这样的文献，目的是要安慰、鼓励当时其他的同胞。
So when we're reading, we need to understand how it encourages people who are being persecuted.
所以当我们读的时候，我们应该从一个角度，从看怎么样从这里面能够得到鼓励或者是安慰。
Second, we should try to see the whole point rather than every single little detail.
那么第二点呢，我们应该看它一个大的这么一个景象，也就是说不要太注重它细节的描述。
And this is probably the most important thing that we can do when we're reading a book like Revelation.
所以当我们读启示录的时候，其实最重要的一点就是不要追究它的细节，而要看它的意义。
So with that in mind, let's take a look at John's vision of heaven in Revelation 21 and 22.
所以我们有了这样的了解以后，我们再继续的来看启示录21章到22章它所描述的是什么。
In chapter 21, verses 9 and 10, John is being taken on a tour of heaven by an angel.
那么在启示录的第九章、第十章这边，约翰他描述有一个天使为导游，让他来看将来的新天新地。
And the angel tells John that he's going to show him the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then he turns around and shows him the heavenly city, Jerusalem.
那么天使对他说，你到我这里来，我要将心腹，就是羔羊的妻指给你看。然而天使带他所看见的乃是这个新的耶路撒冷城。
And in the next 17 verses, John describes this vision of Jerusalem.
那么接下来的17节的圣经就是让约翰看见这个新耶路撒冷的模样。
First, he describes the outside appearance of the city in verses 11 through 21.
从第11节到21节，约翰写下来的是这个新城的外观。
And then he describes the inside in verses 22 through 27.
那么22到27节是描述新城的内观。
So we'll take it these in this order.
所以我们就按照这个次序来读。
Now, when he's describing the outside of the city in the first 12 or 13 verses, John gives us a huge number of symbols.
那么在这里面，他形容这个城的外表的时候，他用了许许多多象征或代表性的形容。
And the Jews of his day would not have had a lot of problems understanding these things.
那个时候的犹太人是应该没有太大的问题能够明白他所指的象征是什么。
But for us today, it's probably a little bit more difficult.
对我们今天来说的话，可能会觉得比较难以了解。
Instead of trying to figure out what each of these things are saying, let's get the overwhelming impression of the heavenly city.
所以我们来看一下，它是个这个让这种我们觉得很了不起的这样一个形容是怎么样的形容的。
And I think that the first overwhelming impression of the city that most of us receive when we're reading this passage is that John spends so much time talking about the precious jewels that cover the city.
这一个淹倒性、湮灭性或势不可当的这样一个形容词，第一个给我们的印象是他形容那上面所用的珠宝。
Beginning in verse 11, the brilliance of the city is described like a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal.
那么在十一节中特别提到神的荣耀在这个城里面就好像城的光辉如同极重的极贵的宝石，又如同碧玉，又明如水晶。
And in verse 18, The wall of the city is made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone, jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, so on and so on.
那么在十八节、十九节又再一度的强调，这个城的墙是比喻造的，城是晶晶的，如同明镜的玻璃。城墙的根基是用各样的宝石，其中有比喻，有蓝宝石，有绿玛瑙，有绿宝石。
In total, there are 12 types of precious jewels that are being described.
你一起来算的话，一共有十二种不同的宝石。
And then finally, in verse 21, it says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl.
那么在第二十一节说，在十一个门，十二个门里面是用十二个珍珠所做的，每一个门是用了一颗珍珠。
Can you imagine the preciousness of a pearl that is that big?
你能够不能够想象那么大一个珍珠它有多么的宝贵？
Now we might not know exactly what all these precious stones are.
我们或许并不能够真正的肯定的知道这些宝石到底是什么样的宝石。
Or what they meant to the people who were reading this during John's time.
或者是说每一个宝石本身代表什么样特别的意义。
But we can understand that John is trying to get a point across to us.
但是我们可以想象得到，他讲这些话，他这样的记载是有一个他的信息。
John is describing all these colorful and precious and wonderful jewels in order to show us the richness and the abundance of the heavenly city.
我们相信约翰是这样的写是要告诉我们在将来的这一位将来的这个新天新地是如何的宝贵如何的丰盛
There's no doubt that the heavenly city will be a beautiful place to look at
我想我们从来不会怀疑在未来的新天新地会是一个很美丽的地方
But even more than that the wonder of it is that this place has all these precious things there and they are there in such abundance
那么让我们觉得惊讶我们惊奇的乃是有如此的宝贵有如此多的宝贵如此多的丰富会在同一个地方。
Another thing that we can see in these 17 verses here is the description of the walls of the heavenly city.
接下来一点是在第十七节这边讲到城墙它的尺度。
And we have already seen how the heavenly city is decorated with these beautiful jewels and gems.
我们刚才已经读完了，那么这一个城墙是用什么样的宝石来装饰它？
In verse 12, the wall is also described as great and high.
那么在第二十二节这边也提到这一个墙是高而大的。
And there are 12 gates.
有十二个门。
In verse 15, the angel who is giving John this tour measures the dimension of the city.
那么带这个约翰来观看这个城的这一位天使呢，也拿了一个尺来量这个城。
The city walls are 12,000 stadia, or about 1,400 miles long.
他量的这个单位在十六节这边有讲。那么在今天的算的方式来说的话，是应该是1400里那么长。
And it's the same width and the same height.
它不只是一千四百里那么长，也是一千四百里宽，还有一千四百里高。
Then verse 17 says that the walls are about 200 feet thick, 144 cubits.
同样的，把它所量的那个单位转变成今天我们能了解的话，这个墙的厚度是200英尺。
These are not meant to be exact measurements. I think most of us will understand that.
我想我们大概不会觉得这是真正那么准确的那种量的一种方法。
Because can you imagine a city that is 1400 miles high in its wall? That's kind of ridiculous.
我想至少我们人的心没有办法想象一个城墙有1400里高的那个城墙是怎么样一个城墙。
But these numbers convey to us a sense of the size, how large this place is.
所以这样子的度量给我们所想象的呢，是告诉我们这个城墙是如此的高大。
And not only is the walls really big, but it's also very thick.
它不只是非常的大，而且非常的厚。
And big and thick walls convey to us a sense of security.
一个高大而又厚的城墙是给我们一种安全感。
Think of Fort Knox, probably the most impregnable place in the United States.
那么在美国可能有一个最不能攻得破的一个城墙是叫做 Knox 的堡垒 ,Fort Knox.
That's the equivalent of what these words are trying to tell us.
What is Fort Knox?
Okay, Fort Knox is the place where the gold of the United States is kept.
所以这个 Knox 堡垒是真的，在美国国家里面是美国的国家储存整个国库的金块的地方，所以那个地方是不能让人家攻破的。
That's the place that you can think of when you think of the heavenly city.
所以当你想到这一个将来未来的新天新地，它的安全的话，可能可以用这个 Knox 堡垒来做一个比喻。
Now many of us are racked with anxiety today.
今天是一个让人焦虑的时代。
For those who are parents, you worry about your children, about where they're going to go to college, what they're going to do for a living, and things like that.
做父母的是焦虑他的儿女，他将来会到哪里去读大学，他以后要靠什么来赚钱为生。
Those who do not have children worry about the financial security as well as security in this world where events like 9/11 happen.
那么假如你没有孩子或者是你不担心你的孩子的话，你可能担心你在金钱上面的安全或者是你身体上的安全，你真是怕有一天像9/11这样的事件会发生在你的身上或发生在你的钱上。
And those who are still in school worry about their grades and probably worry about what the opposite gender thinks of them.
在学校读书的学生们，当然他们很担心他们的成绩好不好。那么男孩子可能在担心女孩子怎么看他，或者女孩子担心男孩子怎么看他。
We worry about these things because we cannot control the future.
我们会为这些事情焦虑，因为我们对我们的未来，我们没有办法控制。
None of us know what is going to happen to us tomorrow, or even 5 minutes from now.
我们不知道明天会发生什么事，我们甚至不知道5分钟以后可能会发生什么事。
So all of us try to buy security.
所以我们常常喜欢用什么东西来买我们的安全。
Either through amassing a large sum of money.
或许是拼命的赚钱
，or through having lots of friends，
或者是去交很多的朋友。
But you know that money can disappear very quickly。
我们都知道金钱是不可靠的。
Just think of the stock market crash a few years ago。
就想到几年前这个股票市场的狂跌。
And friendship is not always reliable either。
友情也不一定都是可靠的。
Our friends might move away.
我们的好朋友可能要搬家。
Or there might be an argument that causes us to have problems with them.
那么好朋友也会吵架。
Our lives are full of worry because we cannot control what happens in this world.
我们的生命当中充满了忧虑，因为我们没有办法控制下一步会发生什么事。
But God promises that when we are in heaven,We will have full security, and He will provide abundantly for all our needs.
但是我们的神应许我们，当我们在他的国里面的时候，我们就会有安全，那他也会供应我们所需要的。
Although we worry about our future in this life,
在我们今天的这一世，这个时代，在我们今天在世上的生命，我们担心我们的未来。
But Christians do not have to worry about their life.In eternity, because of who God is.
因为我们做基督徒的相信这一位永恒的神 所以我们也就不用在神永恒的国度里面有任何的忧虑。
Now John first described for us the security and the abundance of the heavenly city.
所以约翰首先是形容这一个城的外表，它如何的丰富，如何的有安全。
Now he turns to the inside of the city in verses 22 through 27.
那么从22节到27节，他又形容这个城的内表。
And let's take a look at what the inside of the city is like.
我们来看看它的内部是什么样的景象。
Verse 22 tells us that there is no temple.
22节告诉我们说，这个新城没有殿。
Because God and the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, are the temple.
因为神和神的羔羊，也就是主耶稣基督，他们就是神的殿。
For the Jews, the temple is the place where God lived, and it's the place where they can go to communicate with God as well as to sacrifice to God.
对犹太人来说，殿是神所居住的地方，也是他们可以到那边去献祭与神会话的地方。
But there will be no temple in heaven.
但是在这个新天新地新城里面不再有殿。
Because the full presence of God is available to all of us.
因为神他完全的在这个新城里面与我们同在。
We will be living fully with God.
我们会完完全全的与神同住。
And there will be nothing to separate us from Him.
再也没有什么把我们跟神分开。
Also in verse 23, it says that there is no need for the sun or the moon or any other light source.
同样的，在第23节说，那城内不再有日月光照，或者是其他任何发光的东西。
Because God's glory and Jesus Christ, the Lamb, provides the light for the city.
因为神的荣耀和羔羊能够成为这城里面的灯。
Remember the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 33 and 34.
我们记得在出埃及记里面讲到摩西的故事。
Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments from God.
摩西在西乃山上接受神所给他那写十诫的那块石块。
And he asked to see God's glory.
他在山上他就要求神让他能够见神的面。
But God told him that is impossible because no one can see his glory and still live.
但是神跟对他说这是不可能的，因为没有人能够见到神的荣耀而还能够存活。
But God was very gracious to Moses.
但是神也有他自己的慈悲。
So he put Moses in a cave and covered the cave with his hand.
他就把摩西放在一个石洞里面，而且用他的手遮住了石洞的口。
Then he allowed Moses to see his back as he passed by.
当他从那个洞口走过之后，他让摩西能够看到他的背面。
And Moses saw as much of God's glory as any living human being is allowed to see.
所以在所有有生命者、生命气息之中的人，只有摩西看到那样极大神的荣耀。
So when he came down from Mount Sinai,
当他从西乃山上下来以后，
His face was so brilliant, so radiant, that the Israelites could not look at his face.
他的脸上反射神的光是如此的明亮，以色列人都不能够看见他的脸。
His face was shining like the sun.
他的脸发光如同太阳。
He had to cover his face with a veil so that he can talk to the people.
所以他需要用一个帕子把他的脸遮在一起，遮起来。他才能够与以色列人讲话。
That is what it's like just to see a tiny portion of God's full glory.
这就是让我们能够稍微的看见，想象到一点点神的荣耀的地方。
But in heaven, God's glory will not be covered.
那么在天堂，神的荣耀不再被遮蔽。
Imagine how bright God's full glory is.
我们可以想象到那个时候神的荣耀是多么的光亮。
Moses just got a small glimpse and his face was radiant like the sun.
那摩西只才看到神的背面的那么一点点，他的脸就发亮如同日头。
I can't even comprehend how brilliant God's fullness, the fullness of his glory will be.
靠我们的想象，我们实在不能够想象到 神那充满了的荣耀会是什么景象。
Astronomers say that a supernova is the most powerful and the most brilliant event in all of the universe.
那么天文学家说在银河系里面一个最亮最亮的一个星星叫做 supernova。我在台湾学中文的时候还没这个字。
During a supernova, the brilliance is enough that it's the equivalent of a galaxy, how much light is output in a few minutes.
或许这样亮的银河系中最亮的这样一个星星都不能够跟神的荣耀相比。
Right, it's not that even the full visual effect of a supernova, I don't think can be compared to God's glory.
所以这样子明亮的一个星星都不能够跟神的荣耀相比。
Here, when we are on earth right now, we occasionally feel God's presence with us.
那么我们今天在这个世上，我们有的时候会能够享受到，会能够经历到神的同在和神的荣耀。
But, and perhaps it occurs when we have a wonderful time of worship.
或许是在一个我们一起敬拜的时候，你心里面受到的感受。
Or maybe in the depth of your suffering.
或者是你在一个很深深的受苦的时候。
Maybe when you are having heartfelt prayer with God, you can feel His presence with you.
或许是你在一个深深的一个祷告当中，你感受到神的同在。
But it's only partial.
那么比较起来，也只能说是一个片面的。
And sometimes we wonder if it is really God with us, or did we just make it up?
有的时候我们还怀疑会不会是我的情绪，还是神他自己来触摸我。
When we get to heaven, there will be no way to mistake God's presence.
但是当我们到了天堂之后，我们就不会再有任何的怀疑，那就是神的同在。
Because it will be fully present before us.
因为神的同在会完完全全的在那里。
Do you know that in heaven, prayer is going to be different?
你知道到了天堂之后，祷告会不一样吗？
Instead of us struggling to say to God the things that we want to say to Him.
我们常常在祷告的时候，在想不出用什么样的话来说。
Instead of that, instead of being a difficult time, prayer will become the most comfortable, the most wonderful time of conversation with God.
但是你在天堂的时候，你与神祷告的时候会变成一种非常自然的一个交谈。
And the struggles of our spiritual life will be over.
我们在一生当中，在属灵的生命上所有的挣扎就不会再存在了。
We will see and hear God fully.
我们在那个地方会完完全全看见神的同在。
We may even smell or taste or touch God.
我们可能可以闻得到，可能触摸得到神。
And He's going to be there in all of His fullness to all of us.
他会全然的全部毫无保留的把它献给我们。
His glory will be completely overwhelming, yet completely natural to each one of us.
他的荣耀会像势不可挡的那样一个压力，有那样大的的形容，但是对我们来说会变成完完全全的自然。
So John talks to us about the inside and the outside of the heavenly city.
所以使徒约翰把这个星城的内跟外都形容给我们听。
And then he comes at it from a different angle and tells us one more thing that I think will make heaven a lot more clear to us.
他接下来又再指示了一件事，就让我们对这个新天新地能够看得更清楚。
So let's take a look at Revelation chapter 22, the first three verses.
一起翻开启示录第二十二章。
In chapter 22, verse 1, it says, Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river there stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him.
启示录二十二章第一节到第三节，天使又指示我在城内街道当中一道生命水的河，明亮如水晶，从神和羔羊的宝座流出来。在河这边和那边有生命树，结十二样果子，每月都结果子，树上的叶子乃为医治万民。以后再没有咒诅，在城里有神和羔羊的宝座，他的仆人都要侍奉他。
Does this description remind you of anything in the Bible?
你看到这三节，你有没有想到在圣经是不是有另外一个地方有很类似的描述？
John wrote this to remind us of the Garden of Eden.
使徒约翰在这个地方所写的，让我们回想到伊甸园的景象。
In Genesis chapter 2, Moses describes Eden as a garden.
在创世纪第二章里面，摩西特别形容到伊甸是一个像花园一样的地方。
And in Eden there is the tree of life as well as the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle.
那么在这里特别形容到在伊甸园里有生命的树，也有那分别善恶的树。
And a river flowed through Eden.
有一个河流过伊甸园。
Here in Revelation 22, we see that the great city of Jerusalem has the tree of life and the river of water of life flowing down the middle.
那么这边的形容在这一个新的耶路撒冷，有生命树，也有生命的河。
And in Genesis 3, it describes how Adam and Eve sinned against God, and God placed the curse upon them and upon all of us.
那么也在创世纪第三章里面形容到当时亚当跟夏娃他们犯了罪以后，神就把一个咒诅加在他们身上，也加在他们的后代，就是我们的身上。
In Revelation 22, it says that the leaves of the tree of life will heal all the nations, and the curse will be removed.
那么第二十二章启示录这边特别说到说，那树上的叶子是医治万民的，而且以后再也没有咒诅。
Some Christians today believe that heaven is a place where our soul goes to after death.
今天许多的基督徒相信天堂就是我们人死了以后我们灵魂所去的地方。
And there is some truth to that.
那么这在某一个角度来说也是正确的。
However, this idea makes heaven out to be a spiritual place.
但是这一个念头所给你的描述，如果是完全的话，那么就告诉我们，天堂只是一个属灵的地方。
This is not how John understands heaven to be.
但是约翰在这边对天堂有一个稍微不同的描述。
For John, the heavenly city of Jerusalem will be the recreation of the original Garden of Eden.
使徒约翰他这边特别形容到这一个新的耶路撒冷就是伊甸园的重新的建造。
But more than that, John wants us to understand that heaven will be a physical place.
那么更进一步的，约翰要我们明白，耶路撒冷会是一个实际上有物质存在的一个地方。
When God created the earth, he said, It is good.
当神创造天地的时候，他说这是好的。
Sin corrupted the good creation.
那么人的罪让这些好的建造受到玷污。
But God is not interested in giving in to sin.
但是神并没有要向罪恶来投降。
He is working to reclaim his creation.
神乃是要重新的赢回他所创造的万物。
And his people are the agents of this reclamation project.
那你我就是为神帮神来把这个世界能够赢回来的所用的工人。
I'm not saying that heaven will be exactly like the earth is now.
我并没有跟你们说将来的天堂就跟今天的地上是地球是一样的。
It will be new and it will be different.
会是一个新的，会不一样的。
All the bad things that you see in this earth will be taken out.
我们今天在世上所看见那些不好的、坏的事 都会不再存在。
But I think the beautiful things, the wonderful things that we enjoy and we have a heart for will be there.
但是我们喜欢的，我们所享乐的那些好的、美好的事情都会在那里。
Heaven will be in some ways familiar to us.
那么天堂在某一个角度来说，对我们来说不会是陌生的。
We will be able to recognize it.
我们应该可以认得出它来。
So heaven will be the renewed Garden of Eden.
天堂就是一个新建造的伊甸园。
And there we will worship God through our praise, through our singing, through our prayers.
我们会在神的面前来敬拜他，用我们的赞美，用我们的祷告。
And we'll begin to fully understand the fullness of God's glory.
我们也就能够了解神他的全部，他的丰盛。
But I think we will also be able to walk and to run and to enjoy the wonderful creation that God has given to us.
但是我也相信我们那个时候也会走路，也会跑，我们也能够享受神他所创造的荣美。
And we're going to work.
我们还要做工。
Maybe that is not good news to you.
或许你就觉得这个消息不是太好。
Because Adam and Eve worked in the original Garden of Eden.
因为在原来的伊甸园，亚当夏娃他们也有工作做。
But I think in heaven our work will be fulfilling.
但是我想相信在将来的天堂，我们的工作会让我们觉得很满意。
And it will be fruitful.
会觉得是有果效。
It's not going to be hard and toilsome like it is today.
不会是觉得困难，是觉得你不想做。
And our full measure as both physical as well as spiritual beings will be realized in heaven.
那我们真正我们长成的身量，不管是形体上的还是我们的灵命上的，都到这天上的时候就会能够完成。
And it is something that we can truly look forward to and long for.
是我们能够好好的去期盼将来会达到的。
Dear friends, what exactly will heaven be like?
亲爱的朋友，将来的天堂到底是什么样子呢？
Honestly, I don't think any of us can truly know for sure.
真正的来说，或许我们没有哪一个人能够很肯定的把它完全的说得出来。
Because it is something that God has kept hidden from us.
因为神并没有把它完完全全的显示给我们。
But we will know for sure, and we will see clearly when we finally get there.
但是当我们哪一天到了天堂的时候，我们就能够清楚地看见，我们也能够清楚地明白。
In the meantime, God has given us a few small glimpses in the Bible.
在同样的时候，在圣经里面所描述的是让我们能够看得见那天堂景象的一点点。
And the few glimpses that we can see through John's gospel here, John's revelation, are magnificent.
那我们从启示录里面约翰他的描写，我们就虽然只看见了那一点点，我们也看得出来那是如此的美好。
I want to remind you that heaven is a place, it is a created physical place for us, created physical beings.
我要提醒大家的就是，天堂是一个有实质的神所创造的地方，是为我们这些被造的者到里面去居住的。
And it is a place that is rich in its abundance, and it's secure from our fears about the future.
这样一个地方是丰盛的，也是安全的。
And it's a place where everything that has gone wrong around the world will be fixed.
也是一个地方，当在这个今天的世界上，所有错的都会变成被改正成为对的。
What we know and what we see here only in part we will see fully in heaven.
所以我们今天所看见的那一部分，我们到了天堂就会看见它的全部。
And we will be able to see God fully, and we will be able to worship Him far beyond what we're able to do today.
我们能够完全的了解我们的上帝，我们也能够全然的去敬拜他。
But brothers and sisters, even though we yearn for our heaven, for our true home,
亲爱的弟兄姐妹，虽然我们大家都极愿极度的盼望那永远将来的家乡，
We have to remember that we are here for a reason.
我们也必须要明白今天神把我们放在这个世上是有他的目的。
Our purpose in our life today is to be God's agents in his reclamation project.
我们今天在地上的目的乃是成为一个神的工作者，能够帮他赢回那犯罪的这个世界。
And we look forward to returning to our true home.
我们很期盼回到我们真正的家乡。
But don't neglect our work here.
但是不要忽略了今天我们在世上的工作。
So let us continue to pray to God that your will be done in heaven as it is on earth.
让我们继续的在神面前祷告，愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上。
Let us pray together.
让我们一同祷告。
Our Father in heaven,
我们在天上的父，
we desire to be with you in heaven.
我们多么的盼望能够在天上与你同在。
Because we recognize how much our heart longs for that place.
因为我们心中我们明白我们多么的希望能够这样到那个地步。
But we pray that you would give us strength on earth today.
我们也继续的恳求你，让我们在这个世上还活着日子当中能够有能力。
We pray that you would help us to do your work.
你能够帮助我们能够行你的工。
So that when we get to heaven, we will truly be able to hear you say to us.
当我们将来到天上的时候，我们就能够听到你这样向我们说。
Well done, good and faithful servant.
是一个你是一个忠心而又良善的好管家。
We pray this in Jesus' name.
我们这样的祷告乃是奉耶稣基督的名求。
Amen.